So you've been in 1 Thessalonians. Apparently Keith spoke, Mike was telling me, Keith spoke last week on the first part of this book. So I'm going to carry on today in verses 6 to 10 of the first chapter. So if you've got your Bibles, feel free to turn there or scroll there. And Paul says this. He says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model of all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God is known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath." So I wonder, and this question's open and you don't need to answer, but if someone wanted to imitate you and help in the hope that they would be better at following Jesus, do you think that would be a good idea? And do you think you would set a good example for them in following Jesus? Please, you don't have to answer, but you can think about that in your head. Because that's what today's passage is essentially about. It's about imitation. It's about being an example for others to copy. More specifically, we're going to look at not how we set an example so much to follow, but how the Thessalonians set an example to other people to follow. And so we're going to sort of go back in time with the churches around where the Thessalonians were, around Thessalonica. And with them, we're going to learn from the Thessalonians, because Paul said they had an influence all around them on the churches and influenced them in faith. I know there's times that I've set, and again, you don't need to answer, those who know me, that I've set a bad example of following Jesus. I maybe put people off. I'm sure everyone in this room, if you're honest, can say you've done that. And you can also say, and I can say, that we've all set good examples at times of what following Jesus looks like. Both will be true of you. They're definitely both true of me. And Paul wouldn't have set a perfect example either when he went to Thessalonica. But yet he says to them that they lived well. Paul and his team lived well amongst the Thessalonians. So there must have been something about how Paul lived, how his team lived, that was an example to them that helped them to set an example to others. Really briefly, I'm going to look at Acts 17. I don't know if Keith's already covered this, and I don't want to go over the background again. But essentially, Paul goes to Thessalonica. He preaches in the synagogue. Lots of people become believers, especially Gentiles. And some Jewish leaders get very jealous, and a riot starts. Now, that's another good example, isn't it? Do we preach so much that we start a riot? Not very often. But a riot starts. I'm not saying you should do that, but yeah, go on. And so Paul has to leave the city by night. So he leaves them behind, and Paul often does this with new churches. We don't do this with church plants these days, but he often would go somewhere, he would have to leave, and he just leaves them. And sometimes he leaves people with them, sometimes he just has to go, and he leaves them to grow up in God on their own. But as he leaves them, he then later on writes to them this letter. And he says to them, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord." Paul was so confident that he was a good example of God that he said, "When you imitate me, you imitate God." And there's five different ways, and I won't go too deeply into all five, don't worry, that Paul says through this passage that they imitated him and how they set a good example. So I want us to kind of learn a little bit, how can we be better disciples? Some of these five, one of these five may influence one of you more than others. You might see in your life where you can learn from the Thessalonians. And the first one is that they faced persecution with joy. We can assume that when Paul leaves, those Jewish believers are still, Jewish leaders are still persecuting the Thessalonians that are left behind. They were afflicted, but they were joyful. And it's true to say that some of the most joyful and spirit-filled Christians are those who are persecuted. And I don't know if you've read The Heavenly Man. Have anyone read The Heavenly Man, Brother Young? Probably the most faith-inspiring book I've ever read. And I left my copy recently on purpose for someone to pick up because I might be on holiday, because I want people to read it. It's so good. And this is a man who was one of the leaders in the house churches in China, and he suffered for God. And there's definitely moments in the book where he talks about questioning God and asking God why he's in the situation he's in. But he's also a man full of joy. And even today, when you watch him, you can see he's full of the joy of the Spirit. Because affliction, pain, we might not be persecuted in that sense, but it tends to have an effect on us. And it either has a good effect on us and makes us stronger, gives us a backbone, gives us stronger faith, or it makes us question and doubt and try and run away. But Paul says the Thessalonians had joy in the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, in their suffering. So their difficult circumstances, the Spirit of God gave them joy. And that's the key, isn't it? The Holy Spirit gave them joy. It wasn't joy that they had from themselves. And that can be a model to us, can't it? I don't know what you're going through right now. This isn't even prophetic, but there will be people in this room that are going through really hard things at the moment. And there'll be people in this room that are having quite a good time at the moment. If you're not struggling, you will. Sorry. But we all know this, don't we? So maybe the key, looking at the Thessalonians, in our suffering, ask God to give us joy. Maybe that's a place to start. Change how we see things. It might not make the situation different, but God can give us joy in our affliction. The second thing they did, they preached the message of Jesus everywhere. Paul says, the Lord's message rang out from them everywhere. They couldn't stop sharing the message of Jesus. If you cut them, they'd bleed gospel. They wanted to share the gospel of Jesus. This whole section, this whole passage is about setting a good example by our actions, and we do need to do that, but they also spread the message of Jesus. They spoke. You've heard that quote, if preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. Well, it is necessary to use words and show it by our actions. They loved the gospel. They loved the good news of Jesus. I wonder if you know what the good news of the gospel is. It isn't, although this isn't untrue, it isn't God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And it isn't come just as you are and God loves you anyway. But it is this. Even though we've sinned, and we're separated from a just and holy God, he still loves us. And he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect sinless life in our place and to die in our place. He lived as we should, took the punishment for our sin, experienced the wrath of God on our behalf, and he paid the wages of sin, which the Bible says is death, so he died. And he remained in the grave for 3 days. On the third day, he raised from the dead, and in his resurrection, gained victory over death and sin, which leads to death.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay. He ascended into heaven bodily, and 40 days after that, and now he rules and reigns from his heavenly throne. And he is calling all people everywhere to repent, to agree with God about their sin, and to turn from their sin, and to trust in Jesus as their Lord and as their Saviour. And he will return to judge the living and the dead, as it says in the Creed. And all who are trusting in Christ will spend eternity with him on the new heavens and the new earth. And those who don't will be punished eternally in what the Bible calls the second death. And anyone who responds to the gospel with faith in Jesus will be saved. That's the gospel. And if you haven't responded to that this morning, by the way, here's your chance today, or give an opportunity later, to respond to the gospel. That is the gospel. That's what they shared. And we don't share that for all kinds of reasons. And funnily enough, Colin, you brought this up earlier when I said you're going to preach my sermon for me in a minute. But one of those reasons is that we're scared. One of them is that there's all sorts of reasons why, really. But you know what I do, and I don't do this every day, but when I'm in a kind of good space with God and a good place of prayer, I ask God to give me opportunities to share the gospel. And that's a good place to start. And you know what? God gives me them sometimes, and then I don't take them anyway, because that fear kicks in or whatever. But like the Thessalonians, let's preach the gospel everywhere, and let's start by just saying to God, okay, as I go to work today, as I go to wherever I am, give me an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, to share that gospel. I mean, we might only share a little bit. We might share all of it, so that everyone can hear the gospel and everyone can be saved through faith in Jesus. Here's the third example that they set. Paul says that they welcomed him. They were hospitable. Right? They were hospitable specifically to the apostolic workers, to Paul and his team that came in. And I'm not going to say you should be hospitable to the people that come and speak to you, because you can be by all means. But they had a heart that was hospitable, especially to those that were bringing the word. It's not just someone like me preaching, but specifically that the team of apostolic people that were coming in to help them grow and mature in their faith. But there's a principle for all of us, isn't there? And I think, from what I know of Freedom over the years, you are a welcoming church and hospitable church. But it's a good thing to be. Receiving those who come in, whether they're coming to speak to us or whether they're a new person, a new face, hospitality, welcoming. Do the leaders only welcome people, or do we all welcome people? Feeding people, getting people to be part of our family, church family, and maybe even our individual families as we connect to people. They were hospitable people. And a hospitable spirit is put forward here as something that we can imitate from the Thessalonians. And then Paul says they turn from idols to serve the living and true God. They received that gospel that they preach, and maybe here's why they were so joyful to share it. Because it changed them. And when we come to Jesus, it changes us. But it should. It transforms our lives. It transformed their lives. And they gave up the things in their lives that stopped them from loving Jesus. And specifically for them, the idols are literally idols. They would have little idols in their house, little bits of wood, and they would burn incense, and they would be their gods. And they said, no, we've got Jesus now. We don't need those other things. But here's a key way to look at it, okay? So we often say, preachers often say, give up these things because they're distracting you from God and they're not good. How about thinking of it this way? Jesus is better than all of those things. They saw Jesus as better. It's a John Piper thing. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him, right? The most glorious thing we can have is Jesus. And Jesus points us to him because he is, and asks us to worship him, not because he needs anything, but because he is the thing that will satisfy us. And so they gave up their idols. They said Jesus is better. Yeah. So there's a challenge to us, isn't it? What is stopping us, distracting us from making Jesus the most important thing in our lives? So many little things just distract us, don't they? You know, people often say, I don't have time to pray, or I don't have much time to read my Bible. But we have lots of time to do other things, don't we, that we like to do. And I don't want to put that as a burden so much, but just a challenge really to say, what can we give some time to Jesus? What can we put away to give some time to Jesus? What's distracting us? What are we worshipping? Because we all worship something, don't we? They showed the churches all around them that Jesus was the most important thing to them. Wow. And I think we would all say he is, and I would say we would all say it truthfully, probably, honestly, but they showed it, and people saw it in them. And it says, Paul says then in verse 10, they were also patiently waiting for the coming of Christ. And we touched on that one just before. All of their suffering and in all of their worship, they kept the faith that Jesus would return. And they knew that ultimately that's where their hope lies, that Jesus will come again. They were patiently waiting for his return to end their suffering and to redeem them and save them finally and completely with the wrath of God to come and from the sin in their own hearts. And as they hoped in his return, they trusted that Jesus had saved them from the coming wrath. Again, we like, don't we, our nice, pleasant, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And he is loving, and he is gentle, and he is kind, and he does have great, 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 great mercy, and boy, do I know that. But God will also come to judge. And they were trusting and hoping for their salvation to come. And later on, and I don't want to spoil it because someone here will preach it at some point, but Paul talks to the Thessalonians, they've lost loved ones, and people have been telling them that they missed the resurrection and that their loved ones were just dead. But Paul reminds them that their hope is that Christ will come again. And more specifically, this is interesting, when you read through the Bible, there's not much talk of going to heaven. The hope is the resurrection from the dead at the end of the age. Heaven in that sense of a spirit flying off is not there mentioned. It's the resurrection of the dead. Because Christ was raised, so we will be raised too. And I've been thinking through that one recently, and it's really, again, inspired my faith in the resurrection. I've always believed that we will be raised, but it's the hope that we have. The early Christians, read what they preached. When they preached the gospel, they preached the cross, but they really preached the resurrection. And that's our hope, and that was their hope. And so I want to encourage you, don't give up hope. Christ is coming to redeem you and save you. Yes, to judge, but then that should also then go back and encourage us to the other one, which is to preach the gospel. Peter mentions the people that say, where's this coming that he's promised? He's still not come. And even today you'll hear lots of people, lots of skeptics, lots of so-called free thinkers saying, well, Jesus still hasn't come back. He will.
He will.
He will. And we can trust and put our hope in that. Forgetting all the other stuff that we debate about when it's going to happen and the timings and tribulations and Antichrist and all these things. He is coming back. That's what's going to happen. So the example that the Thessalonians set in all these things, and as I say, maybe one or two of these things is more relevant to you than one or two of the others. As long as you take something away that will help you to live better for Jesus, I don't care. But the example that they set, that Paul set them, that they set others, changed their lives and actually will change the lives of the people around us. And Paul, interestingly as well, is not talking about mainly influencing unbelievers here, as important as that is. Their lives and their expression of faith and their discipleship was affecting the lives positively of other churches and other cities around their area. So the effect of their faith, I'm paraphrasing, but it's in verses 8 and 9, because of the way of their life, the message of the gospel rang out to the surrounding towns and areas. Their faith has become known everywhere, says Paul. They had a joy-filled, persevering, spirit-filled, dynamic, patient, Jesus-first, Jesus-centered, infectious faith that was impacting towns and cities all around them. And so it can with us, can't it? In Chester, in Ellesmere Port, in Crewe, where we are. The gospel showing through their lives, impacting and changing lives. I want to pray for us. And I don't know if there's people that can pray. I think people might want to respond later to some of those things. Most importantly, if you've not responded to the gospel, I don't know everybody in this room. If you've not responded to the gospel and you've heard it here, first time, second time, a millionth time, and you want to respond, there'll be people that can pray for you. I will, of course, but there'll be people from the church here too that will. And also, if there's anything else within that that you think, yes, I just want to be able to preach the gospel better, or I want joy, I'm going through a really hard time, or I'm not really believing that Christ is going to come back, any of those things, and you need some prayer, or anything else, we pray for you. Because we want that example to be set in our lives by the Spirit, don't we? It's easy to stand up and say some words, and it's easy to sit down and listen to some words, but we want the Holy Spirit to start to shape us and change us and change us and send us out different, send us out with that new inspiration from Him, new way of life. Let me pray anyway. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you love to be with us. What a wonder it is that you would save us, that you would have mercy on us. Whatever kind of example we've set, however good or bad our example's been, thank you that in some sense as Christians we're all hypocrites. We never live according to how we should. But we thank you that you love saving hypocrites. You love saving sinners. So we ask that you fill us with your Spirit. And we ask that you help us to live lives that show Jesus, that show who you are, that live for you. Whatever situation people are in right now, you come to Jesus. Bless these people. Bless this church. Bless every person here. From the youngest to the oldest and everyone in between. Help them all to live out their faith in you in a fresh way. As your Spirit touches each one of our hearts and our lives. Thank you, Lord.